Hey everybody, welcome to our morning devos and happy Monday. Today's chapter is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let me read this for us. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and I shall know fully, even as I have been known, have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. Love. It seems like you can't go anywhere without seeing it or hearing about it. In nearly every movie, regardless of genre, love is a central theme, whether it's love for a romantic partner, a family, or a friend. Multiple holidays throughout the year, at least here in the US, have love at part of its core themes. And I mean, what's a hit song, if not one, that has something to do with love, either lost or found? But what exactly is love? Is love just a warm, fuzzy feeling you get sometimes? Or is it something that you fall into and therefore can possibly fall out of? Or is it a rational decision you make just based on your circumstances? Well, today's passage gives us a very straightforward teaching on what love is. The Apostle Paul writes, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, if I were to summarize these verses, I would break it up in this way. First, love is other-centered. Based on what we see in these verses, we can see that love isn't about the preservation or advancement of self. It's not about placing a first-class priority on the pursuit of one's own needs or desires over that of others. Love is patient and kind. It doesn't insist on its own way. Love is other-centered. As the other author C.S. Lewis once put it, love is not affectionate feeling, but a steady wish for the loved person's ultimate good as far as it can be obtained. Again, there's nothing here about the advancement or gain for oneself. It's other-centered. And a natural result of living an other-centered life is sacrifice. And that's the second thing I want to point out about love. Love is sacrificial. In that line I just quoted from C.S. Lewis, when he says, steady wish, I don't think he means just kind of having good thoughts and then simply hoping for the best. I don't think he means we're to just sit around twiddling our thumbs, just hoping that the people we supposedly love will get that ultimate good somehow. No. I believe the implication here is that love is having that desire for the other person to have and experience ultimate good, and then being willing to do whatever is possible to help them obtain it, no matter the cost to ourselves. And by that, we mean love is sacrificial. Love bears all things and endures all things. Love is not irritable or resentful. Another way to translate that is love does not count up wrongdoing. So love is certainly sacrificial in that we do certain things, maybe give up some of our time, or, you know, we go out of our way to do something. But it's also sacrificial in that instead of holding on to grudges, instead of being angry and not forgiving somebody, instead of keeping a mental list of all the ways you've done something for somebody, or you've been better or done more, done better than the other person, you sacrifice. You let go of those things. You don't count the cost, if you will, because love is sacrificial. Finally, love is a commitment to stay, no matter the circumstances. It's a commitment to stay. Again, in our passage, it says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. When you truly love someone, or even something, you don't bounce at the first sign of difficulty. You stay. You endure. You don't give up. Instead, you believe and hope. And out of the belief and hope, you act and you work. Again, think about a friendship or a romantic relationship. When things get difficult, when you argue, you might want to leave. You might be tempted to run away or to hide. And maybe, you know, maybe sometimes you do need to take a moment to just catch your breath and clear your mind a little bit. But at the end of the day, if you love this person, you'll come back around. You'll work on addressing the things. Why? Because you love them. Now that is love. So again, love is other-centered. Love is sacrificial, and love is a commitment to stay. And so you could hear that, you could read this passage, hear me say this, and think to yourself, that sounds really hard. This sounds different from maybe what I've seen in TV or movies, you know, where again, love just seems like this nice feeling that you get. But what I'm just saying, what we see in this passage, sounds really hard. How can one actually do this? And if that's what you're thinking, you're actually right. It is hard. It's actually quite hard to be consistently other-centered and sacrificial and stay despite the circumstances. I mean, it's, on one level, it sounds actually pretty romantic and really kind of something that we would want for ourselves. But in terms of showing this to others, well, if you really think about it, it sounds nearly impossible. And you're right that by your own strength, our own willpower, our own determination, it is impossible. It is impossible to just will ourselves to live and to love in this kind of way. But it is possible when we depend on Jesus. Jesus acts as both the perfect model of love as well as the fuel that drives our love. Let me explain what I mean. Jesus loved each of you, me, the whole world in this selfless, sacrificial way by coming into this world and dying for our sins. It was through his death, the greatest of sacrifices, the greatest sacrifice that any person could give, their life, right? That it's through this great sacrifice that each of us has the opportunity of life with God. It's this act of love that acts as the model we can and should follow as we pursue a life of love as well. And then from there, it's also the fuel that drives our love today. See, Jesus continues to love us and receive us today. Even when we stumble and falter, even when we reject him, even when we act selfishly, he receives us, forgives us, and then continues to do so, calling us to himself over and over again. It's his love for us. It's this love that gives us the ability to love others in the same way. Our own love will eventually wear thin, but the love of Jesus, the love that he has for us, is a never-ending fuel that can continue to empower our love. I believe this is why everything I've said is why Paul also says that love is the most important thing. I didn't really focus on the part before the passage, the beginning part as well as the end of this chapter, but in a nutshell, Paul says that love is the most important thing. You know, we could do great things for the kingdom of God. Paul gives examples like speak in tongues, prophesy, have great faith, you know, mountain-moving faith, and even make grand sacrifices. But if we don't have love, then, well, it's meaningless. That's what Paul says. It doesn't mean anything. And why is that? Well, it's because we haven't really come to know Jesus, be transformed by him. Those things are just actions. They're not undergirded by the love that Jesus has. It's not to say that those things are bad. Paul says in tomorrow's chapter that we should earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. And so I'll say more on that tomorrow. But clearly, it's not bad to have gifts and to use them. That probably goes without saying, but you know, it's not a bad thing. But love must be the foundation on which we do these things, on which we live our lives. And then from there, utilize these gifts and whatnot. So brothers and sisters, the takeaway from this chapter ultimately isn't try to be more loving. There, of course, we should, but rather the foundational takeaway is let's become more like Jesus. Let's become more like Jesus, and as a result, be people of love. It's only when we live a life of intimacy, of abiding in Jesus, that we can become more like him and then exhibit this type of love. So let's seek to do that more and more each day, that as we spend time in his word, like you guys are doing right now, that we would abide in him, receive his love, and then from there, be able to be these people of love. So let me pray for us to close. Lord God, we thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, we thank you that you are the perfect example of love. And you are also the fuel, if you will, that drives our ability to love. Lord, what we see in 1 Corinthians 13 is really amazing, but we also know it's challenging. So it's only possible when we follow you. So help us to do that, Lord. In the times that we spend with you, which hopefully are frequent and often, that we would be filled with your love. And then from there, be able to, of course, love you in return, to love others in very much the same way. So thank you, Lord, for these words. Help us to become people, as we spend time with you, to become people who are sacrificial, are other-centered, and stay committed to you first and foremost, of course, and to those around us. So God, we thank you once again for the time in your word. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.